Welcome and good afternoon, everyone. Today is our Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on Monday, December 18th, the last meeting of the year for 2023. So and this is a packed agenda, so we will have a very productive meeting. Just want to share some helpful tips. Everyone who is joining through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. And if you want to make any comments, you can raise your virtual hands by pressing star nine. So star nine will raise your virtual hands and it'll also lower your virtual hands. Everyone who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute and unmute yourself. And if you go under reaction, actually, if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then I would know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. So if you're able to use these tools, thank you in advance. Everybody is on mute at the moment, and I would request for you to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise so that our meeting flows pretty well. All right. And just to inform that we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name before your comment, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone who is on the phone call knowing who the speaker is. And if somebody listens to the meeting audio recording, which we place on our website, because these meetings are recorded, it also helps everyone listening to the meeting audio. We do ask for people who make comments to please describe yourself when you initially at least speak. For instance, I'm a female, Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses. I have long, dark hair, but today my hair is tied up in a bun. So if you can just give a brief more description of yourself, that would be helpful. Chair Samaford, I can go ahead and read the agenda and then I can take the roll call of the committee member if you concur. Okay, I would take that as a yes. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. So when I have shared my screen, if someone could confirm that for me, I would appreciate that.
You have shared
I
your
see.
screen.
Great, thank you. So as you, after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call. And then the chair of the subcommittee will go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. After that, we will have reports, which are commendation report, customer service report, and any outreach report, if any. At 4:15, we will have the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:10, we have a topic, which is Metro Access Service Area and Fares for the fiscal year 2025. This is a discussion between committee and the management and any Q&A. Mr. Christian Blake and the AAC members will lead this topic. After that, at 4:50, we have Metro Access contract solicitations, and Mr. Blake will give us information about that. Then Mr. Blake will again give us information about specifically for Loudoun County service area, and then the committee will continue the WMATA FY 2025. That's a typo. That's a 2025 budget discussion. And at 5:35, we will have public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. So now I would stop sharing my screen. and going through the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura, Darnese Bush, Tino Calabia.
Present,
Thank you.
Asian American, Filipino, and I have glasses on and a blue shirt.
Thank you, Tina. Vanessa Coles.
Present, middle-aged African American, curls in my hair, and I'm wearing a black lace t-shirt.
Thank you, Vanessa. Rico Dancy. Tavon Farmer.
I'm here.
Present, African-American male, bald, red t-shirt.
Okay, thank you, Rico, and thank you, Tawan. Debbie Fisher. Okay, Debbie actually informed us that she may not be able to join the meeting today. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah, white female wearing a striped shirt and my hair is grayish.
Thank you, Marcy. Timothy Howard. Steve Kaffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum.
I'm here. African American, what have you. I'm wearing a nice shirt with Mickey Mouse on it. So I'm glad to be here with y'all.
Thank you, Thomas. Philippa Mazzell. Sandy Newsom.
Present, senior Caucasian woman with gray hair and a blue fleece on, and I'll get on the computer. Maybe you'll see me sometime.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Bill Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Paul Samuelford.
Present, African-American, 48-year-old male with a shaved head and a gray and red shirt here.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Present, white male, 70 years old. Currently wearing a sweatshirt and nice comfortable slacks at home.
Thank you, Patrick. Kelly Simonow. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes our roster for today's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. Chair Semaphore, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. We will give information about the public comments when we begin that section. So you have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. So with the agenda, I move that we move this fully packed agenda as is. Are there any additions, any other motions or additions to this agenda? Hearing none, could I get a motion to approve the agenda as is?
So moved.
All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Abstentions, the motion carries to move the agenda as is. Next will be the minutes from the November 2023 subcommittee meeting. Are there any additions, changes, subtractions? Hearing the crickets, can I get a motion to move these minutes as is?
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
All right. Thank you. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions, the motion carries. We're approving the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting minutes from November 2023. Next on the agenda is Ms. Allison to discuss commendations, customer service, and outreach from her and her wonderful crew.
Thank you, Chair Semaphore. My name is Allison Anderson. I'm with Metro Access.
I'm an African American female, middle age, with the twists. Wearing a gray Metro fleece jacket. It is my pleasure to introduce Dolan Chittums, who is with MTM, to give our report as it relates to public comment from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums with MTM Quality Assurance. I'm an African-American male with long locks wearing a blue shirt. There were no outstanding Metro Access public comments to address from November 6th AAC meeting. However, the Metro Access subcommittee meeting had four public comments that could not be addressed during the meeting that required further information. To ensure all concerns were handled, the customers who provided these public comments were contacted to share information regarding the investigation findings and resolution. As a result, all outstanding public comments have been addressed. Now, moving on to the accommodations highlight. During the month of November, Metro Access received a total of 419 accommodations, broken down by provider. First Transit received 73, Transdev 102, NVOCC 78, Challenger 63, Next Merlin and VA 86, MTM 1, Eligibility 1, and Ability Rise 1. This concludes my briefing.
Thank you, sir. All right, next, do we have Ms. Anderson, someone for the Metro Access AAC Safety or Michael Wilson Award for this
one? We do. Thank you, Chair Semaphore. It is my honor to introduce people tomorrow with Challenger Patient to recognize our Michael Wilson and the AAC Safety Award recipient. Pierre? Let's see. Anu, do you see anyone from Challenger that's on?
Good afternoon, Alice. Good afternoon.
Oh.
Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. So, Stacy is the customer service manager with Challenger. So, I'll turn it over to you.
Yes, thank you. Good evening. Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, so I'm Stacy Jackson, and I'm customer service with Challenger Transportation, and I am an African-American female, young at heart, just had a birthday, and I am wearing a black and white shirt, resting comfortably at my home. So today I have the pleasure of, we actually have chosen one recipient for the Michael Wilson Award as well as the AAC Safety Award. He is just he's the total package. So we wanted to acknowledge him for both awards. So with no further ado, let me introduce you to Mr. Jorge Casas. Mr. Casas was born in Lima, Peru. Mr. Casas feels like it has been a blessing that he has been living here in the United States since 2000. He enjoys spending time with his family and cooking delicious meals, which I hope he brings some to work tomorrow for us. During his free time, he likes to read and provide advice for Latino startups. He has a background in entrepreneurship in this country. He learned the importance of customer service as sometimes difficult tasks and the importance of following rules. Mr. Casas has been with Challenger since June of 2021. He arrived at Challenger right after the COVID-19 outbreak. By working for Metro Access, he feels like he has the chance to repay his debt to American society by giving special attention to the elderly and people with disabilities, in addition to the importance of the service. Mr. Casas feels like that we could all be in the same boat one day, and it is unknown if we will require patience, tolerance, care, and a comprehension in the future. Mr. Casas is committed to providing extraordinary customer service to every customer. He consistently receives commendations from his customers and has no customer complaints. In addition, to his extraordinary customer service, Mr. Casas has an impeccable safety record. He has zero preventable incidents since his tender, no tickets, no coachable drive cam events. Mr. Casas also scored 100% for his mystery rider observation. And this is the reason why we have chosen you, Mr. Casas, as the recipient of not only the AAC Safety Award, but also the Michael Wilkson Award. We thank you for your service, sir. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And my apology, I was having some radio difficulty here. I couldn't get in. I was able to get in. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir.
And Mr. Casas, if there's anything you'd like to say, now's your opportunity, sir.
Okay, my name is Jorge Casas. I am original from Peru, South America. I have been living in this country since 2000, and I am deeply honored to receive the award, the Michael Wilson Award. I would like to express my sincere gratitude to WMATA and Challenger for recognizing my effort. Since I have to strive to maintain a higher standard in my driving and to ensure its customers feel valued and respected, I would like to also thank you to my team and my management for their support and encouragement, which has been invaluable to achieve this standard of excellence. Thank you very much, Guy. I really appreciate this one.
Congratulations again, Mr. Casas. I'll turn it back over to you now, Allison. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mr. Casas, for your service for our customers base here with Metro Access.
Thank you very much, sir. It has been a pleasure to serve you and the people who are at service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
ACP here. Just wonderful. Yes.
Oh, Miss Anderson. Oh, you're going in and out, Miss Anderson. Oh.
Right. Allison, you're going in and out. Breaking up.
Just to quickly ask Miss Anderson, were there any outreach reports for this month?
No. Our presentation for today.
None? Okay.
That concludes our presentation for today, Mr. Semaphore.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Blake, camera's on. You're on next. And the next big topic, and hopefully everyone got a copy of that budget from Anu about, service impacts for FY 2025. I'm going to let Mr. Blake talk about the Metro Access piece. And then after that, we have question and answer. And I'm sure people will have questions. So go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Yeah, so good evening, everyone. Good afternoon, rather. Good afternoon. My name is Christian Blake, Black American male, wearing increasingly tighter fitting clothing as I keep gaining all this weight. I gotta go on a diet or something. But I'm here to follow up. You had a good presentation from some of our colleagues in the budget and planning team 2 weeks ago during the AAC meeting about the Metro budget of FY 25, fiscal year 25, which begins July 1st, 2024. Now, if you all remember, we've had those type of presentations before with the AAC about the Metro budget in general. And oftentimes I never followed up or said anything. We let my colleagues say what they have to say, and we move forward even when there were times that presented challenges. Because then I always thought I had a trick up my sleeve, another thing we can do to kind of overcome the situation at that time. Well, this year in today's meeting, I'm giving you a follow-up. I've got to give you, because while my colleagues gave a great presentation and were frank and forthright, I don't know if the impacts to Metro Access were as clearly laid out as I'm going to do so tonight, because I think we need to be very frank. And I'm giving this because, unlike in the past, this year is different. There are no tricks up my sleeve, no August, September, October, December surprises. Things are different this time. And so I want to just share with you where we're going to be, where are we, and where we could possibly be July 1st without a fully funded metro. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying fully funded metro access, fully funded metro. Because if there's no metro, there's not going to be any metro access. So that's the first theme I want you to kind of absorb, that we're talking about fully funding metro, not just metro access. So let me just start off where we are. In my humble opinion, and when I go around the country to conferences and talk on Zooms with my colleagues, I always say metro access, nothing's perfect, nobody's perfect, and we're certainly not perfect, but metro access is in fact the best, which is objective or subjective, but a little more objective. We're definitely, without any doubt, ladies and gentlemen, and hear me clearly, this is not my opinion, this is a fact. We are in fact the most customer-friendly paratransit service in the nation right now. Why do I say that and say that's not an opinion, that's a fact? Number one, less than half of our trips are shared rides. We know how some of you all feel about shared rides. I always hear the story, oh, I know it's a shared ride, but I don't want to share a ride. I want to ride by myself. We're actually only about 40% of shared rides right now. Second reason, 30% of all trips scheduled for the next day, tomorrow, the day today, yesterday, last week, going back many years now, 30% of all trips scheduled will be free of charge to customers. Third reason, our service area extends and our service hours extend far beyond the ADA requirements. In the last couple of years, when we did have those budget presentations and there were reductions in bus service, reductions in rail service, for the last 5 years, I've kept Metro Access customers away from that. Fortunately, I make the presentation to my boss and the boss's bosses, and they have accepted our proposals to keep the Metro Access area and hours intact, despite what may be happening on the fixed route service. Just remember the pandemic. I think rail stopped around 9 or 10, bus was around 11. We were running 24/7 as we continue to do today. And then finally, not only do we allow customers to tell us their vehicle preference, we actually include vehicle preference in our scheduling software in an effort to match the vehicle that the customers prefer. Most transit agencies do not even want to get into that conversation because it's not required by the ADA. If a customer tells us, though, that they want to ride in sedans, we don't guarantee you a sedan. But we've actually gone a step further where our computer software recognizes that you want a sedan, and we try our very best to make that happen. When you look at those four things, you may find one or two transit agencies around the country doing one or two of those things. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to find any paratransit agency that's doing all four of those things. Not one. And in fact, Mr. Chairman, you know, if you want to have a work plan item next year, maybe we'll put that on there. Let's find another paratransit agency that's doing these four things for its passengers. I guarantee you, you will not find a single one. And then if you do happen to find one that is doing all four of those things, then let's see, because right now Metro Access, since October of 2019, you know what's special about that month? That was the last time on any single month that Metro Access was less than 90% on time. Now you go to New York, Chicago, and this is not to put anybody else down. I'm just telling you why we're the best and we're the most customer friendly. We're not perfect. And I've always said that when I go out to these public meetings and talk to other people. But you're not going to find any other transit agency that's doing those four customer-friendly things. And just like everybody else, we've gone through driver shortages. We've gone through labor actions. We've had the weather. And we're in some of the most congested traffic in this country. Yet despite all that, We've maintained a level of service that when you're looking at a public transit service that's not on a dedicated right-of-way, 90% for 49 consecutive months, you find another agency that's doing that anywhere else in this country. I challenge you to do that. Now, I'm very proud of that record. Some of these things came from lessons learned in horror stories and other places. And my determination was not to have those type of stories in a, at least in an ongoing major way over here. And largely, we've been able to do that. Now, how did it happen? Did it just come out of the blue, out of magic? No. Number one, it took courage. There was only one public paratransit professional in this country, ladies and gentlemen, only one who had the courage to say to the industry, but more importantly, to say to their boss that giving away thousands of free trips for paratransit customers could actually be part of a sustainable and feasible public transit service. Yes, that's me. I'm the only one who's ever tried it. The rest of the industry had too much concern and fear and how it would look. But no, we're now nearly 800,000 free trips we've given to Metro Access customers over these last 5 years. I'm very proud of that. It's been a great stimulus, I think, for the region. That's money you're not spending with us. We believe you're spending it in doing other positive things for the local economy, and that's a good thing. So it took courage to propose something bold, different, and say, we're just going to change how we do things. Second thing it took was an effective team, starting with the Metro Access staff. Y'all know Ms. Anderson, Ms. Williams-Hall, Mr. Prevo, the whole crew. And when you start calling names, you leave somebody out, you get in trouble. Then you go to the leadership of the contractors who are always on these meetings. You go to the drivers, the mechanics, the dispatchers, the reservationists, the schedulers, and all the other support staff to make this plan be as effective as it has been in the last 5 years. But then it took one other thing to build a system where you can give away thousands of trips, give customers vehicle preference, and provide service that's way beyond the ADA. You know what that is? Called money. And with a fully funded Metro and the support of the leadership, we've been able to build the finest paratransit service in the nation. Again, that's finest could be subjective, most customer friendly, not objective. Nobody else is doing these things for their customers. But that's when we had a fully funded Metro. And I want to step back. I don't know if he's on because I can't see all the customers right now, but we know that there's a stakeholder who attends our meetings, Mr. Torres, highly respect and appreciate him and his advocacy. But when we were always talking about the budget, what did you always hear me say? When he said all the money that Metro Access was saving, and I kept saying to everybody in the meeting, him and all the participants, there is no Metro Access budget, ladies and gentlemen. There is a Metro budget that Metro Access is a part of. So again, back to the theme. We need, and when I say we, the region needs a fully funded Metro. You fully fund Metro, then we can do some of these great things that we've done over the last 5 years. You don't fully fund Metro, well, let's talk about things that can happen come July 1st. July 1st, and this is based on the presentation, but then I'm going to give you some more details about it. July 1st, without a fully funded Metro, your current fare is $4. That's going to go up to $4.25. That's pretty easy and simple to understand. That's actually less than what it actually could go up to, but it's still a fair increase nonetheless. July 1st, $4 to $4.25 in your fare. July 1st, again, let me remind you again, as I was saying, any reduction in fixed route service is going to be met with an equal and corresponding reduction in Metro Access. As I pointed out, for the last 4 years, I think I said five, but for the last 4 years, that's when I introduced the concept of the static Metro Access service area and hours. whenever Metro Bus was reduced, you didn't feel the pain, Metro Access. Whenever Metro Rail was reduced, you didn't feel the pain. Without a fully funded Metro, July 1st, any reduction in fixed route is going to be met with an equal and corresponding reduction in Metro Access. So what did you hear 2 weeks ago? That there's a proposal that will eliminate nearly half of Metro bus routes. If that comes to fruition, July 1st, nearly 9,000 Metro Access customers will lose direct access to Metro Access, meaning either we won't be able to take the van, sedan, or minivan directly to their home, or take the van, sedan, or minivan directly to their destination. They would have to find a way first to get to the Metro Access, and then we'll take them and then drop them off within 3/4 of a mile of their destination. That's the first thing. Second thing, for the routes that do remain, there is a proposal to reduce some of the frequency. So what does that mean? July 1st, even if you're in the Metro Access service area, if a bus route that's been running pretty much all day is now, I'm just using an example, is now reduced to morning rush and afternoon rush, but your dialysis appointment is in the middle of the day, even though you're in the service area, you won't have Metro Access service. If that bus route used to start at 6 in the morning, but now doesn't start till 8 in the morning, if your dialysis appointment is at 5:30 or 6 or 7, you won't have Metro Access, even though you're in the service area. So first, in terms of the routes being eliminated, that shrinks the service area. Thousands of people will lose direct access to service. Reduction in frequency reduces availability of service for those who are even in the Metro Access service area. Third, we talked about shared rides and how few they are. Again, last month, only about 42% of our Metro Access trips were shared rides. July 1st, we will be targeting between 70 and 85% of all trips will be a shared ride at some point during that travel. 70 and 85%. So that's July 1st. Next thing, customer vehicle preference scheduling. That will be eliminated. So that means no matter how many letters from the doctors you send me, how many stories you have, if you can fit in a Metro Access vehicle, and that primarily means anybody who's not in a wheelchair, thus can fit in any of the Metro Access vehicles. And therefore, if we send you a van and you prefer a sedan and you choose not to take that trip, that's your right, but that's a canceled trip and we'll see you tomorrow. But the idea that the computer will try to schedule to your preference will no longer be part of the process, because we need to schedule to a high level of efficiency to reach that goal of 70 to 85% of shared rides. And that means if the computer finds the best trip for you to be in a van, even though you prefer sedans, a van is what's coming to get you. You want to be in a van instead of sedan? That too will be the case. It's a matter of if you can fit. We won't try to say a person in a wheelchair has to be in a sedan. But if you're not in a wheelchair, and therefore you can either walk on or sit into a Metro Access vehicle, that's the vehicle that will be sent to you. Again, doctor's notes and all those things do not count with the ADA. So therefore, they will no longer be part of our scheduling process. And therefore, finally, how do we get to 70 and 85% of shared rides? Well, we're going to probably have to cap the abilities ride. Maybe 4 trips a day. You know, when we started abilities ride, you may remember that technically you were up to four trips a day, but we never really enforced it. And today we're not enforcing any trip amount, but it could be four trips a day, could be two, may even be one. But first and foremost, we'll be putting people on our Metro Access vehicles, and then maybe giving out a few trips on Uber or taxis. But this is what's coming July 1st without a fully funded Metro. Service area reduction, service hour reduction, fare increase, increase in shared rides, and elimination of customer vehicle preferences. So finally, I'll just say, Mr. Chairman, and of course, we're going to be here to answer questions, but in your dialogue with your members in the community, the advocacy, if we were offering any recommendation, would be advocating for a fully funded Metro. And then when you speak about Metro Access specific items, I think you can advocate for the $4 flat fare. I think it's a fair case to make to those who will be listening to your testimony that if we're in fact going to engage in all those other measures, reduction of the service area, reduction of the service hours, an increase of shared rides, that the $4 fare perhaps does not need to increased. And also, the service area is going to be a challenge either way. It just is. But I think a lot of your testimony should be on protecting the Metro Access service hours, regardless of what you want to advocate for the continuation of the service area, no doubt. But I think you really want to advocate for the service hours, as that can eliminate some of the disruption that some customers may feel if the doomsday budget does in fact come to fruition. So I just wanted to share that as a little addendum to what my colleagues presented to you all 2 weeks ago. We'll be available for any questions, but as your discussion proceeds, please feel free to just ask for clarification or other points of the matter. Thank you for the time to start this discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. And so my first question is, just to clarify things, Mr. Blake, what y'all recommend for this, what's being recommended for the doomsday budget, if it goes through, will this be only for this year, or is this going to be permanent for the rest of the years, or is this something we have to come back to year after year?
Well, and budget-wise, it's year after year, and that's one of the things I've heard the general manager and others continue to talk about, that we need to find, the region needs to find a more stable, for lack of a better word, solution to Metro's funding. But this budget cycle is every year, and we kind of go through this every year, but not as significant or crisis pending as this year. I will say this, if anything comes close to the doomsday budget as being the final, the ability to then re-expand the service area and the hours becomes more difficult. I think it's a lot easier to protect what you have right now by supporting a fully funded Metro budget than taking a haircut 1 year and hoping that we can come back the next. So if the doomsday or anything close to it comes out, I believe that will be the kind of look and feel of the Metro Access service for a good little while.
And I'm going to ask one final second question, and then we're going to go to the order that New has for AAC members to speak. Is the 3/4 of a mile that if it rolls back to for the ADA, that is 3/4 of a mile of either a Metro bus or a bus within the compact area, meaning, you know, that county or that city bus. That's what it's based on, to be clear.
That is correct. But if you, and yes, that's the answer. I won't elaborate anymore. But yes, we're talking about Metro bus, locally operated transit services is what we call it, LOTS, they may say. So that's those local bus services that's operated by Prince George's County, Montgomery County, and the counties in municipalities in Virginia. So any public transit service, except now, let me just be clear, in Loudoun County, not their bus service. Their bus service is not part of the Metro Access service area. So when we get to Loudoun County, it's still only 3/4 of a mile around the Metro rail stations. But in Prince George's County, it does take into consideration the bus. And in Montgomery County, it does take into consideration, I think it's Ride-On. Mm-hmm. I forget the exact names, but yeah.
It's the Ride-On.
Okay. So yes, those would still be taken into consideration for the Metro Access service area and hours.
All right. I saw Denise Rush's hand first. Everyone will have 3 minutes. Anu, can you help me with order? Who do we have after Denise?
Sure. This is Anu. So first we had Ms. Rush, then we have Doris Ray. After that, we have Phil Posner and Rico Dancy. And as Chair Samuelford stated, 3 minutes for each speaker. When you start speaking, I will turn the timer on for 3 minutes. So Ms. Rush, go ahead.
This is Denise Rush. My question is, you gave us all of the changes based on a fully funded budget. That's a gray area. Say they are asking $750 million and they get, say, $500 million. That's not fully funded. So does that mean that the changes go into effect?
It, great question, Ms. Rush. So what Ms. Rush is saying, as you all heard, the projected deficit right now is 750, but let's say the region comes up with 500 million. Well, the first thing is the key that's going to happen is that any reduction in bus or rail service will be met with the equal and corresponding reduction. So what that means is where I say the 750 could mean up to like 9,000 people may lose service. With 500, maybe that number is only 3,000. But I can't give you an exact estimate until we see exactly what changes in the bus and the rail would constitute that 500 million. So the point is, therefore, also, let's keep going down the line. Therefore, the amount of shared rides, I said 70 to 85%. Well, now maybe we're talking 60%, which today, again, we're like 42. Maybe we're talking 60%. When it comes to the abilities ride, maybe it's, you know, maybe no impact, maybe it could create another means of doing some things. And then finally, when it comes to customer vehicle preference, we can take that into consideration that that may or may not change if we're at the level of like 500 million. That may be able to stay as well.
Okay, now another thing, whatever the number is, whether it's 9,000, 3,000, or whatever, when are they going to have ample notification that there's going to be a change in their service? Because it's going to affect going to the doctors. Some people get going to their job. They need to know, are they going to have a job to go to?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That's a great point.
We're going to do it in ample time because the hearings are, say, maybe February, March. You're making the change in July. If I got to go look for a job, I need some time to do that. When are you going to notify the individuals that these possible changes are affecting their lives? That's critical.
Yeah. Yeah, that
is very critical, and that will be part. So that those changes will be known prior to the public hearings because it will be the proposed changes that the public hearings will be about.
Okay, so because you know who they are now. I mean, maybe we need to. I don't know. The public are on the phone, but they need to know if they need to get down to those hearings and be in person and tell them that it is going to affect my job. It's going to affect me going to dialysis. It's going to affect my life. And maybe we'll have more people at the hearings. They need to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because that is roughly 25% of our customer base, if the numbers are correct, being 36,000 registered applicants. That is a large, sizable number. Next on the list is Doris. 3 minutes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Blake, for your presentation. With some urgency, I would like to ask, because our state legislature begins meeting in January and will only meet for 2 months, I mean 6 days, so we need guidance. And so my question is this. My understanding is that the funding for Metro Access, at least for services, is coming from the operating subsidies, and the operating subsidies, at least on the Virginia side, are primarily coming from the local government budgets. And but even just today, I heard something about that we would have to go through the Virginia General Assembly to ask for an increase in the subsidy cap at 3%. Is that true, or is the 3% an agreement among the compact jurisdictions, and mainly we have to focus on local government advocacy?
So I want to be careful, because I know that the chairman asked my colleagues for some points on that. The 3%, I recall it was a regional agreement. It has not necessarily kept up with inflation. I don't want to get too deep into the specifics. I'm going to have to wait till my colleagues provide you and the rest of the committee with the specifics of what is being asked. From my standpoint, my point of view, all of those details, your local officials and your state representatives and all the players, if you will, involved, they are well aware of all the details, because we have a very highly excellent government relations and external affairs team that has been providing those officials with all those very specific details of what the need is. From my standpoint, in speaking with you as the AAC and disability community advocates, I'm just using the general, easier to use term of fully funded Metro. And if you would say that to your officials, I believe based on the information they've received from my colleagues and our government relations team, those officials would know what you're advocating for when you mention you're advocating for a fully funded Metro.
We need to know what we need to say when we see Virginia state legislators, if anything, regarding funding for Metro operations. And we will be seeing them in a big hearing on January 6th. And we will be traveling to Richmond on January 24th to see our legislators in their offices. And in addition, other groups are going to be down there the 17th of January, and then again at the 1st of February. So we need to know pretty quickly whether there's something in reality that we need to be asking the Virginia General Assembly to cough up money for, or is it mostly in the local budgets, which will not be on the public hearing dockets until late February and mainly March. So that's why I'm trying to find out what do we need to tell state legislators about state funding, if anything.
And again, I will have to defer to my colleagues, and I'll ask them to expedite getting that information to Mr. Sheehan and Mr. Semelfort. But in the meantime, again, this is just my saying, if you happen to be in one of your meetings, and I know you're a well-traveled advocate in your community, and you happen to come across one of your officials, I think in the meantime, until we get the information from our colleagues, fully funded Metro gets the message across, because again, they're most likely, they've been briefed by my colleagues from Metro already on what fully funded Metro means.
Thank you,
and
Doris.
I heard about a bill today in Congress about security and Metro and a large amount of money that could infuse the system. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next would be Phil Posner, followed by Rico Dancy, and then Tino Calabia. So Dr. Posner, go ahead, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes, one point of information for Doris. The 3% cap on funding that is in the compact, Metro Access is exempt from that, along with labor contracts, lawsuits, and some other items. So local government in Virginia, in Maryland, can increase the donations targeted for Metro Access above the 3%. So that's a dead issue. The other issues that Mr. Blake went over are from the docket. And that is the worst case scenario that will be addressed at the hearings before the board develops a final budget. And the money in the final budget will be distributed with the amount of money that WMATA has. And they can decide with appropriate lobbying to give Mr. Blake's Metro Access and ADAP a certain amount of money within which they can decide whether they continue part of, none of, or all of the great things that Mr. Blake told us all about. So that is all flexible and to come. As far as the lobbying goes, start right now. I have already contacted Mark Warner's office and Tim Kaine's office. Tim's up for re-election this year. Boy, those two senators can have an impact. There will be a Senate seat up for election in Maryland. They're going to want support from everybody they can get. All the seats in the House of Representatives are up for election this year. Don't wait until it's too late. God, they want money. This is when they want money. This is what they want support. Start now. In Virginia, in Maryland, in the district. Don't wait until January, February, March when it's too late. So, Mr. Blake, thank you. You've been a great support. Please continue it. And all the disability community, not just you with vision issues, all of your organizations, not just you with hearing issues, all of your organizations, all of you with mobility issues, not just you, all of your organizations, MS, Parkinson's, epilepsy, cancer, you name it. Get them out there and talk to all of the legislators. And you've got a great list from Mr. Blake of the dangers you face. Thank you. Hopefully I didn't go over my 3 minutes.
Nope.
Go get them, guys.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Posner. Next would be Rico and then Tino Calabia. So Rico, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Dr. Fiddle, you are correct. That is one of the reasons why I am getting ready to step into this dirty game, politics, because I don't care how you look at it, we need more funded for transportation, okay? We need more funded to run our transportation eco for every citizen, everybody with all different kind of backgrounds. Disabled, non-disabled, wheelchair walkers, you name it. And that is why, and had we thought about contact our congresswoman in her home and see what bill is she is putting on the floor of the House of Representatives to get more funded for our transportation in the district. In the district, contact your representative in Maryland. Contact your representative in Virginia, okay? That is one of the reasons I think transportation should be for everybody. It's going to protect people's jobs, people going to the hospital, people going to whatever, everyday grocery. That is one of the reasons why I put my paperwork already to run for Congress so I could help to get more funded on these kind of issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Tino. You're up next, followed, I see, by Pat Sheehan. In terms of other Metro Access customers, we do need to move with the agenda, but I guarantee you, news is taking your names, and you will be able to speak during public comment period. Thank you.
Well, can I ask you a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I know it's your meeting, but given the importance of this, and because one of the topics, again, is from me, but it's only visionary based on what happens after this. Can we take the public comment of this topic within right. the course of this conversation?
Yes, we can, but it needs to stick only to this topic. Anything personal with Metro Access, it can be shared during public comment period. So next will be Tino, followed by Pat, and I think Anu, that'll be it for committee members, and then we will take comments from the public.
This is Vanessa. I am on the phone.
Oh, Vanessa.
And I have my hands up, but my number is 3058.
It says guest one. Okay, so we'll put you on the list after Tino. I guess we'll take Vanessa and then Pat. How about that, Anu?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Tino, and then 3 minutes followed by you, Vanessa, then Pat, and then Anu will help me with members of the public.
This is Tino, and it's to follow up on what Phil has said. This won't take 3 minutes. In addition to your senators who are, or House of Representative members who are running for election this year, at the state level, for example, a House of the State House of Representatives, Mark Corman, who is represents my district. He has been not only the House Speaker in Annapolis for Maryland, he's also been the transportation chair of that transportation committee. So I wouldn't leave out such very local people who are in Annapolis in addition to anybody running for Congress. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next is Vanessa. You're next. 3 minutes.
Thank you. This is Vanessa. First of all, thank you, Mr. Blake, for that presentation. It has certainly made our life more comfortable. Thank you for that. But I had two concerns. My first one, the example that you gave, should the time frame move. For instance, you said if they don't start, bus service doesn't start to 8, then if you have to be to work at 7, then you won't have transportation. But what happens, I don't have to be to work to 9, but when I'm scheduling an appointment trip. It says I have to leave at 7, 2 hours prior to my time to work, but the service doesn't start till 8. So that's going to present a problem. I mean, I need to get to work. And I'm not saying me in particular. I'm giving an example. And then my other question is the Ability One portion of it. Now, I thought that was Uber who was providing that Ability One. Why is it affecting us like that if they are taking care of those trips? Because a lot of people now are taking Uber. They're bypassing Metro Access. So why is such a big cut?
Two great questions. Right. Two great questions. So your first example, and you're right, it's not just you. That's a real example for a lot of people. You're saying what the example Ms. Coles was giving is that she books her trip by appointment time. And based on the fixed route equivalent, Metro Access schedules her to be picked up, let's say 7 o'clock for her 9 o'clock appointment time drop off. Well, what if the service hours or the frequency of the bus service in her area doesn't start till 8 o'clock? Well, as Ms. Rush was saying, your that situation, be it a job, dialysis, is going to be impacted, even though you would still be in the service area, because of the reduction in frequency, we won't be able to pick you up to take you somewhere to get you there by 9 o'clock. You would have to move your start of your job time or move that dialysis appointment back. So, no, that's a real possibility, a real case scenario, and that's why I wanted to lay it out. I wanted you all to realize that's what they were talking about when they were talking about reducing frequency, the impact that it could cause to Metro Access. And then the second question you asked, you said, well, why does the customers who use Uber or the taxis, why are they impacted by this, since it's these other companies that are providing their own private service? Well, the reason why is because Metro Access is the one that's paying for it. And with the doomsday budget, we have to utilize the resources we have. And that's where, you know, Ms. Rush teasingly, I don't think she was teasing when she called it a cargo van. Well, we're going to have to share those rides. We're going to have people sitting next to each other and getting to know each other and utilizing those resources, because it just won't be enough money to give everybody who currently is utilizing Ubers and taxis the same number of trips while still maintaining the Metro Access service for everybody that needs it.
All right.
So I thought Uber was paying for our trips, though.
No, ma'am. No, Uber doesn't give away. Uber is a for-profit private company that's on the stock market, and they're working for their shareholders. So they don't give away anything for free. What's happening is that Metro Access, and this goes back to one of the things I'm telling you that we're doing that nobody else in the country is doing. I made a business proposition that said to this industry, we're looking at things the wrong way. We've got to get out of the old-fashioned way and look at other possibilities. And that's where we said, I made the point, if you can give away thousands of trips and actually help make the overall better and make it sustainable. But trust me, Ms. Coles, we're paying for every time you're on that Uber. We're paying for it. Uber's not giving that to you for free. Metro, the fully funded Metro, was giving it to you for free.
Okay. Last concern. I thought you had mentioned earlier back in the summer that you were getting rid of the cargo. So is that going to be still happening? Because there's that van is very inconvenient for some.
Right. No, the cargo vans, I got to stop saying, but see, Ms. Rush did that to me. But no, those vans will still be phased out. But even when you're riding on those vans today, generally speaking, again, just based on the numbers, you're probably riding by yourself or with your PCA. What's going to happen is between the sedans, the new big vans, as well as the minivans, every time you get in one of those vehicles, either somebody's already going to be on there, or as you're on your way to your destination, somebody's going to get picked up while you're in the vehicle. We have to share more vans, excuse me, share more ride space. So generally speaking, won't be more than two, although we can't make that promise either. But generally speaking, it'll be two passengers at a time at some point every hour for every vehicle.
Okay, thank you.
But it won't be the cargo vans eventually. Those are being phased out.
Right.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you. And Patrick, you're next. 3 minutes.
Thank you. I think I'm the last. So, yeah, Vanessa, I know that I think the Uber trips were like either $25 or $35 per trip versus the $110 or so dollars per trip for a Metro Access van trip. And so, therefore, you were saving quite a bit of money. Metro Access was saving quite a bit of money and passing that savings on to us. So, I, you know, this is third time I've heard this discussion. A couple of months ago, somebody asked, how did we get here? What happened? Well, what happened was COVID over the 2019-2021 time period. We've always been in this time crunch. We've always been in this crunch that we were living on a deficit budget. Now, all of a sudden, the COVID money is gone, and we are back to deficit budgets. And so what we're seeing now is, as we call it, the doomsday budget. And so I think that's a good way to refer to it, to the board and to anybody else. What we need to be able to do, this group is very smart and capable, and you've heard a lot of technical details. But to everybody else who is in the audience, who is listening, or who are part of the groups that Phil and others have talked about, when you get to WMATA and you want to go to the hearings and talk, and we want lots of people, hundreds if we can get them, more if we can get them, talk about your stories. Talk about how it's going to impact you. You don't have to be a data metrics person. Talk about percentages and this and that and the other. But you know how it impacts you. And those are the stories that we need to hear, because those are the stories that the board will resonate with the board. And they're the ones that are making the decision. When the hearings come up, you can do it in person or you can do it by the phone. There'll be several different ways to do it. So we'll try to make it easy. But my urging to this group is take what you've heard today. Go out and talk to your peers, talk to your organizations, talk to your family, whatever it takes, because this, what's happening right now, is real. If we don't get the money from the jurisdictions, we're going to get these cuts, and they're going to be hard to live with. I will say that I don't think that this is just a year-by-year thing. I think this is what we're going to be living with from now on, these kinds of budgets. So where we are right now, it may improve a little bit over time, but I don't think you're going to see federal employees coming back in droves. They're not going to come back in droves. It's a different scenario, a different world we're living in now than we lived in before. So, but take heart, go out and tell your stories to the people that matter. We're not aboard. And, we'll all do our best, and we'll certainly be here crafting talking points for our group. I'm going to do the same thing with the RAC, share those points. The RAC is doing some outreach also. So we're going to all together try to make a difference here. Thank you.
Thank you. Anu?
Okay. Chair Sheehan, Semaphore, we had hands up by Regina Lee, and then somebody's on the phone. Their last four numbers are 8455. So, Regina Lee.
Go ahead, as it relates to this topic.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. Nice to see old faces.
Okay, sorry, we cannot hear you.
You're going in and out, Regina.
Well, first of all, let me back up. I'm a little, but I'm kind of wasn't given. The budget was first released. That's my question. My second question is, has this
Yeah, Regina, this is a draft budget, first draft. A lot more negotiations to go before the final budget in April.
And fully funded. That's my question.
If you, Regina, if you can put your question, if you're able, into the chat, that way we can read it into the record.
I'll do that.
Yeah, that way we get that while we go on to the next speaker as it relates to this topic. I guess that's get six anew, yeah. Is it correct? Yes.
That's the phone. It's a 240 area code, and the last four numbers are 8455. So go ahead.
This is relating to this topic. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, yes, hi. This is Fred Camara. I am a long-time rider of Metro Access. In fact, a little over 26 years. And I was kind of very depressed when I heard the possibilities or probabilities that could happen in July next year from Mr. Blake. I hope that kind of doomsday thing won't come about, because Metro Access has been very good to us, those of us who depend on Metro Access service. And I must say, I am very grateful to Metro Access. I appreciate the work you guys are doing at Metro Access. And I hope we won't have to experience the kind of doomsday thing that Mr. Blake has outlined. I will try to be at every meeting to try to persuade authorities to provide funding for Metro Access. I will, as long as I know where a meeting will take place, I promise I will try to be there.
And please tell your friends who use the service, spread the word to your friends, and have them come to the public hearings and participate if they can't physically come there in whatever way possible to it. We need numbers. Numbers tell.
I sure will do. Thank you,
Commissioner Camara. Thank you,
Mr. Torres. You are up next.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Somewhat. You're coming a little bit garbled.
Hold on 1 second. One second. Hello?
Now we can hear you better. Yes.
Okay. All right. I hate to be the skunk at the party, but somebody needs to ask these questions. Where is the $60 million plus that Metro siphoned from our budget, our Metro Access budget, that they refuse to answer questions about? As I have been saying at previous meetings, the disabled community is being used in this doomsday scenario to raise funds for the rest of Metro. We have been deprived of services, better services, to benefit the funding of Metro that was a calamity in terms of budgeting for quite some time. Because there is no restriction on the Metro Access budget, Metro basically has been raising excessive amounts of money through Metro Access, saying, oh yeah, we need $200 million. They're only using $140 million in their actual spending and taking the rest of money. When they can account for the millions of dollars that they have sucked from the Metro Access budget over the past years, then I can say, yeah, I think I need to go on lobby. But until then, they need to show me the books, show me the money, show me how you've been spending that money. And then I can talk about whether or not it is justified for me to go and talk to my representative. Because other than that, all you're doing is using the disabled community to raise money that when we get it, It's not going to us. It's going to the rest of Metro. So stop the foolishness. Give us some answers. And then I can take your doomsday budget very seriously. Otherwise, we're just being used as human shields. And I refuse to be used by Metro Access. And I am ashamed of the leadership at the AAC who has participated in this dog and pony show. Okay? You have misrepresented me and misrepresented the people who you're supposed to be advocating for. You can't even have a chairman of the AAC that is legitimate. He's illegitimate and now giving excuses about why it is you cannot have a redo of the bylaws to justify his illegal presence on the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so next we have Deborah Dunaway. Deborah, you have 3 minutes when you start speaking.
And this relates to this current topic about the doomsday budget.
Okay, well, I just do the best I can with it. What I'm going to say is one of the things that hasn't been brought up or mentioned is that we have a housing crisis. And the housing crisis is meaning that the people who are on the receiving end of Metro Access Assistant, because a lot of us have housing choice vouchers and stuff like that, are basically in a situation where if you cut some of the rides that go out to some of these places far out where we can afford to live, then we're not going to be able to work. We're not going to be able to get around. I see you're cutting a whole lot of stuff out of the Northern Virginia area, like Dung Warning and that whole area. So, I mean, I'm just saying that that's one part. But the other aspect brought up about, thank you, sir, about about the allocation of money and where it's spent. How much of that is really spent to get qualified people who have the experience of dealing with the disabled community and senior citizens and people with special needs? How many of these people are really professionally trained to deal with that? Because I'm pretty dang sick of dealing with supervisors like Tiana and people like Brianna and JP who sit there and make it so that I didn't get to my doctor's appointment a week ago. And that doesn't have, that's just because I have a back injury and that's why I lay down every time I just go to these meetings, because I can't sit up because I've got problems. And so, you know, my question is, I think it's pretty nervy to say, oh, your doctor writes a note that's not valid and we'll just shove you wherever we want to. Or to say, you know what, you're disabled and you're a musician, a blind musician, but we're not going to be able to get you to work anymore. The only place you can make money. So I think that really knowing where the professionality is, like, who's deciding to not book enough supervisors? Who's deciding that if I can't get picked up by my doctor, it's my fault because at my doctor's office appointment because they ran over? Or who's making all of these decisions about my life and playing God and a lot of other people's? But the fact that I didn't get to a doctor's appointment, and we're not even at the point of the doomsday budget that you said. No apology, nothing. Just acting like it doesn't matter and you'll get to me whenever you can. It's just not right. And as far as the thing about sedans versus vans, yeah. I'm just going to say flat out, I never said I wouldn't share a ride with anyone. Okay. What I said is that it hurts to ride those dang vans because they don't have enough shock or
Yeah,
3 minutes,
Ms. Dunaway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunaway. Ms. Dunaway makes a great point. In terms of the staffing, as I acknowledged earlier, and I know, of course, you know, I know each of the three people you mentioned, and we've talked about them. We're not going to get into that, but I could tell you there is a commitment to serve all customers. And when I see that's not happening, I do get on those employees, and although they're contractor employees, may be clear on that for the record. But Ms. Dunaway, what I was sharing about the vehicle preference and those things, Yes, you and others. It's not just you. Believe me, there are going to be challenges because it's not required by law. But as I've been telling you, Ms. Dunaway, our commitment is to serve you and all customers to the extent you need and do so with professionalism and care. I know you and I have had our conversations online, on the phone, through text messages. And as I say to all customers, when there are challenges, I encourage you to contact me because that's the only way I can learn where there possibly are some shortcomings. But what I was sharing earlier, Ms. Dunaway, is the reality elsewhere in the country when it comes to paratransit and vehicle preference.
I don't care about elsewhere. What I care about is how we're getting services here. Let's get out of where elsewhere is and focus on here.
But
and now, that was.
With the possibility of the doomsday budget, some of these things that, again, I saw at my other places that I worked in and was determined to try to eliminate from here, without the fully funded Metro, some of those things like vehicle preference will not be available to customers in the future if this comes to fruition. I just want to be open and honest and frank with you and all those who are listening to this meeting right now so you understand where we really are at this point in time.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm just making the point that when the Uber app isn't working and none of us know where we're going and we don't know why Regency or Barwood was assigned us, but we don't even know they have, it's a problem.
Thank you, Ms. Dunaway.
Thank you.
Chair Summerford, this is Anu. Ms. Rush had raised her hand and Philippa has her hand up.
I'm going to take Philippa first and then Ms. Rush because Philippa hasn't said anything as it relates to this topic.
Yes, I had trouble getting in and staying in the meeting. It kept bumping out. But at any rate, I'm just wondering, is there any particular jurisdiction where we need to most concentrate our efforts? And that's a nice way of saying, is there a jurisdiction in particular who's not trying to pull their weight?
No, this is a situation where wherever you are, that's where you should advocate. And as you heard from Commissioner Kamara, I would just encourage you to attend one or more of the public hearings once they're posted.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Miss Rush.
Okay, this is Miss Rush. At the beginning of the meeting, Mr. Blake said it is WMATA's budget. We're not asking about Metro Access budget. We're not doing the operations. We're not specific budget. It's WMATA's budget. Yes, there has been an area or many areas where the money needs to be looked at the way it was spent, but that's already done. We're just trying to get public transportation continuing like it is for the next year. We need money set aside every year for track recovery, for new rails, new buses, Metro Access. But basically, that is WMATA's money, and it's not, I want $2 million over here, I want $2 million over here and over there. It's WMATA's money. And you know, we can't say, well, you took this from Metro Access, and what did you do with that? It's WMATA's money.
Right.
It's just like a husband and wife. They got money. Now, they all put it in the pot, but it's the household's budget, and that is WMATA's budget. We just need money to make sure these changes do not happen. And I'm not saying that I don't question some of where did you buy number two pencils or number three pencils, or did you buy rulers. I just
want to be able to go to school, and we just want to be able to go to work, go to the doctors, and go where we want to go. But there is a concern that if Virginia can come up with $600 million for a stadium to bounce the ball and take something over to Virginia, they surely can come up with some money to fund so that people can go to work to buy the tickets to go see the game. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Can I just say something? I'm not going to comment on the basketball arena piece.
And then we need to move on.
But I would say yes. And I heard the comments and give Mr. Torres credit. He's been very consistent on his point. And I continue to stress, you know me, Mr. Chairman, I've never suggested how people advocate. I give advice and move forward. Again, there has never been a Metro Access budget. There were times, again, and I've used this example before in these meetings, and I have to say it again, there have been times when Metro Access was not as financially efficient, and Rail could have easily said, why are you taking our money over to those folks? We need it over here. It's a Metro budget, and we need a fully funded Metro. And believe me, the way the resources are allocated, we've been getting the money we need. If there's a little bit left over, because we could put a few more people on an Uber for free and let everybody be happy, that's a great thing. But when the region says you have to reduce fixed route service, well, at this time, it's going to result in a reductions in changes in Metro Access. We can continue the debate about somebody took somebody else's money and other conspiracies, but I'm just suggesting to you, and I've been saying it, I've been consistent, there is no quote-unquote Metro Access separate budget. It is part of WMOD, of the Metro budget, and we need a fully funded Metro.
All right. It is now 5:26. Obviously, we're not going to get to some of these topics. Where does the committee want to steer?
Would you like?
Well, can I share one thing? So we're talking about the doomsday budget on one side. Let's talk about some other things you may see in July with or without the doomsday budget. And that's what I wanted to just quickly give you an update, because I know that you and Mr. Sheehan and former chair Phil Posner and others really look at our procurement processes. So we're going through the Metro Access contracts right now, and they're going to be recompeted over the next few months. And so come July, you are going to see some other changes regardless of the doomsday budget. And I really wanted to just go over that very quickly with you before you saw or heard it on the street and you didn't hear it here first. So can I quickly go over that?
So we're going to go over that, and then we're going to start public comment.
Yes, real quick. So right now, let's talk about how does Metro Access look right now? Metro Access has, as you all know, four service delivery providers. They are First Transit, Transdev, National Express, and Challenger. And they all have done a good job. Everybody can do better, and we're continuously working to help them do better. Their contracts are up on June 30th. There's going to be a competitive solicitation. The process is underway right now. Well, what's going to happen in July is that instead of having four companies, we're either going to have one or at most two. So some of our friends will not be part of Metro Access beginning July 1st. You'll either have one company or two.
Providing street service, you mean?
Providing the on-street service, yes, in terms of Metro Access now. So these are the folks driving currently the cargo vans and other vehicles like the one that's behind me. For those in my background, I have a Metro Access minivan that has the Metro Access logo on it.
And it will be decentralized too, sir?
Excuse me, sir?
similar to what we have now, decentralized. You know, in other words, you're not bringing it in-house.
No, sir. Yes, it's still going to be contracted.
Right. Okay.
But instead of having four contractors, we're going to be either with one or two. In the way the service is going to be divided now, there's going to be two zones in the Metro Access service. One is called North Prince George's County and all of Montgomery County. One zone, the other zone is going to be called South Prince George's County and all of Virginia. And the two companies, or the one, however it turns out, will share trips that are within DC, and they will be responsible for trips that are leaving DC going to their respective zone. Did I say that too fast for anybody?
Repeat that again.
Okay. So moving forward, if you live, let's say, I'm trying to think, Bowie, Maryland, there's going to be one company providing all of the trips for you going to and from Bowie, Maryland. So there'll be Zone 1, which is North Prince George's County and all of Montgomery County, and Zone 2, which is South Prince George's County and all of Virginia. And then the DC to DC trips will be shared by the two companies if two companies are awarded. And then the company for trips going out of DC, whichever zone that trip is going to, that company will handle that trip. So you may have one company beginning July, or you may have two. So that's going to be a somewhat of a big change. I mean, we have a lot of friends. We all know each other. And you as a committee has been working with the leadership of these companies. And obviously we have been working with them. And you know, I always say I love everybody, and we're all been trying to provide you great service. And so some faces may change on that end. We're going to also have a call center, and working on the great people and hiring and training, as Ms. Dunaway was bringing up. But the difference is currently the call center is handled by a company called MV Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. So, and right now, MV, even if they wanted to, could not provide the on-street service. That was separate. If you remember, one time there was one company that did everything with
Metro. Which was MV Transportation.
Which was MV. They did everything. They did the call center, they did the vehicles, and everything else.
And there was a concern with that.
Right. There was a concern with that. I would say there's not necessarily a concern with any one particular company, but what can happen is, just like there could be one company that does all of the vehicles.
And the call center and customer service.
Call center could be one of those companies, or it could be a separate company. So it could still be MV. MV could also bid on the services. It could be, I don't want to call it, but it could be any company. And so we're not going to restrict any company from bidding on one aspect. Darcy, you're going to mute for us. We're not going to restrict any one company from bidding and being awarded more than one aspect of the Metro Access service.
Now, will MTM still be in place for quality assurance?
Well, we're going to come to that in a second. You're jumping ahead. So that's the call center. And so those are the things that, and the call center is basically going to continue to do what it's been doing. Reservations, scheduling, and where's my ride and dispatch. So a lot of those things aren't going to change, but it could be MV. It could be another company. We'll see, but it's a competitive solicitation. And then, as you point out, Mr. Chairman, there is the what we call performance assessment support. So right now you call them MTM, and yes, they could be the company, or it could be another company. That too is going to be a competitive solicitation. And so the performance assessment support is the things, you know, they're listening to phone calls, they're monitoring trips, they're taking mystery rides, they're collecting data, and they're following up on customer complaints. So all of these things are in some level of procurement process right now, and that's the basics of Metro Access. But here's the big change that's coming in July. So prior to me coming around, you know, we always had taxi service, did we not? That's a yes. Okay, we always had taxi service. The taxis were providing you door-to-door service. They were Metro Access trips. So when you rode a taxi, you paid your fare. If you didn't have money in your Easy Pay account, you had to pay the taxi the $2 or $4 or $6.50, whatever the fare was. That was called non-dedicated service. Those are ADA door-to-door paratransit trips. Well, we're going to bring that back. But we're not bringing it back in the form of sedan taxis. We're bringing them back in the form of wheelchair accessible vehicles. And we're going to break it up into six zones around the region, two in DC, two in Prince George's County, one in Montgomery County, and one in Virginia. And it could be one company or it could be many companies. We'll wait and see how it all plays out. This too is a competitive solicitation. What this is going to be are short trips. They don't always have to be, everybody doesn't have to be in a wheelchair, but we're going to have wheelchair accessible vehicles. They're going to be relatively short trips, and it's a step. I'm not saying it's going to start. It's definitely not going to start on July 1st. Don't get me wrong, but it is a step towards our efforts at bringing you same day service. And what that means is that we're going to start with these wheelchair accessible vehicles providing Metro Access ADA service. So when you book a Metro Access trip beginning July 1st, that trip could be on a Metro Access van, like the one that's behind me, the minivan with the Metro Access current logo on there. Could be in a Metro Access sedan, or it could be in the vehicle of one of these private companies that will have a sign, much like you see Ubers. When an Uber picks you up, you notice there's an Uber sign in the window. Well, they will have a Metro Access sign in the window. The drivers will have to be drug and alcohol tested. They will have to provide door-to-door service. Their performance will be reported to the federal government, just like any other Metro Access trip. These will be Metro Access trips, but just not in a vehicle with the Metro Access logo. That's going to be the big change beginning July 1st. Any questions on that?
Well, actually, I want to do public comment, but people who have lined up for public comment is to include whatever issues you have and whatever this presentation has. So we can get everyone before 6 o'clock, hopefully. Anu, help me with the order with the hands.
This is Anu, Chair Samalford. So
go ahead and give your spiel about public comment, and then we'll do it that way.
Very quickly, every member of the public and members of the AAC who want to make public comment will be allotted 3 minutes. I would try to alert you 30 seconds in advance, but as I always say, I don't like to interrupt people, but at the end of 3 minutes, you will hear a sound, so indicating that your 3 minutes have ended. People can also send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. On that note, Chair Samalford, just want to state for the record that we did receive an email. That email was from Nikki Singh. And in the interest of time, we will have that referenced in the meeting minutes.
All right.
Deborah Dunaway has also written some comments in the chat. Those comments will be also referenced in the meeting minutes. And now, with the hands up, I see Ansel Torres has raised his hand. Other than Ansel Torres, we have two members of the AAC. If any other members of the public would like to make comments, please go ahead and raise your hand so that we can put you in the list. The list, or send me a chat message if that's feasible. If not, then you can come off of mute and state your name when you want to speak. Okay, so we have Ansel Torres and guests. A guest, their number is ending in 8455. So, Mr. Torres, when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin.
Hello again. I am on there. I'm on the phone.
Vanessa, I do see your hand. We will take any members of the public first. If we have any remaining time, then we will come back to you and Doris. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Torres, go ahead.
Thank you.
I really very heartened by Mr. Blake's comment about same-day service. Any motion in that direction is a good thing because it adds to a better experience with paratransit. There's always been a lot of talk about Metro Access being an equivalent service to the bus rail, but in truth and in fact, it has never really lived up to that because bus and rail people can get their rides same day. But Metro Access riders have to do it 24 hours ahead of time. There's nothing fixed route equivalent about that, but they never tell you about that. But that's the situation. So it's only fixed route equivalent when it benefits Metro, not when it benefits disabled riders. Regarding Ms. Rush's comments about its Metro's budget and comparing the concerns that we have about the budget to, you know, whether you're buying number one pencils or number two pencils, I am shocked. Ms. Rush is an advocate for the disabled, but yet she's trivializing the concerns that disabled people have when it comes to the service that we receive. You had Paulus talking this earlier on in this conversation about her concerns about not being given quality service and whether or not these people are really qualified to serve the disabled community. That's not a one pencil or two pencil issue. That's a real serious issue. When we don't get a proper GPS tracking service because they simply say, oh, that's, you know, it's too expensive to get the real thing, to get an Uber-like app. When that money, and that they can't do it because the money is being siphoned off to Metro. That's not a one pencil, two pencil issue. I am very disgusted with those comments because it shows a true insensitivity from somebody who is blind and should know better than to say things like that. It is a shame and it's a continued decline of the kind of advocacy that we have on the AAC. You guys don't represent us. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. Thank you.
Okay, we have next person. Your numbers, last four numbers are 8455. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Commissioner Frederick Kamara again. First, I have a question relating to this budget thing, because I think Mr. Blake said it's a WMATA budget, a Metro budget. Is there a percentage allocated to Metro Access out of this total budget? If there is, then can you please let me know how much or what percentage of the total Metro budget is allocated to Metro Access? And the other thing is with regards to whether the interests of persons with disabilities is sought by other members in the on the board. I believe that that matter should be something that you decide when you try to get people representing certain communities on the board. I don't know how that process is done, but I'm just suggesting that it's a question that should be considered when people are being
taken into, selected or whatever process is done to get them on the board. But I believe anybody who gets there is really supposed to seek the interest of persons with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll be real quick, Mr.
Amen. Chairman. Amen. Amen.
Okay. I'll be real quick, Mr. Chairman, and that the question of Mr. Commissioner Kamara, is there a percentage of the budget that that goes to Metro Access? No, sir. The way it works is we look at, first and foremost, what is our projected ridership on Metro Access? Then we look at the contracts that we have to provide that level of service. And then we estimate based on our forecasted ridership, the cost of the contractors, the totality of the Metro Access ecosystem. And we then look to see what that budget would be, and we make adjustments from there. So no, there is no set percentage. It really is depending on you, the customer. How many trips in a given year are you going to use? How many times are you going to call the call center? How much gasoline is going to cost? How much are vehicles going to cost? Those are the type of things, vehicle maintenance, I should say, are going to cost. Those are the type of things that go into developing a budget. And yes, as with any government, a quasi-government, we look to stay within our budget or even below our budget so long as we provide all of the service that is demanded. And I will just say this. I just have to say this. When people say they don't have an Uber-like app, actually, we have provided that, and there are nearly 1,000 customers who are using it. And just like I've been promising, yeah, you don't download it from a Play Store, but it's on my home screen just like the Uber. And in fact, it's right next to the Uber app. And anytime a customer calls me, I can use the app if they choose not to see where their ride is located. So we have been utilizing a lot of money to do a lot of good things for Metro Access, as I outlined at the beginning of this meeting. But thank you for that question, Mr. Kamara, Commissioner Kamara.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
And I see Terry Powers here anew.
Yes, I was about to call out their name. So Terry Powers, when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin. You go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. We can.
Okay, Metro Access is built. Our trips are scheduled based on the buses that are in the vicinity of wherever we're going or wherever we're coming from. To my understanding, the reason we are not focusing on Metro Access, but we're focusing on Ramada, is because if we don't get all these buses up and running, if any of these buses collapse and stop running, then Metro Access is going to, excuse my wording, but indirectly collapse. We can, after we get Ramada working, then we can focus on Metro Access. If there's any changes and improvements we need to make with Metro Access. But since Metro Access is based on all the buses, the ride-on and the the public buses, we need to focus on Ramada and make sure that Ramada gets its funding to get our rails and buses so none of them are shut down, so that Metro Access can continue its ridership before we worry about focusing on Metro Access itself.
Thank you for your comment.
Okay, any other members of the public who would like to make comments, please come off of mute now. Or if you're able to, raise your virtual hands. Chair, right. Some foreseeing none. We do have two members of the AAC with their hands up. First is Doris Ray and then Vanessa Coles. So
go ahead, Doris, 3 minutes.
I want to second the commenters. The comment was just made before me. We need to realize that the reason ADA paratransit, like Metro Access, exists is because it was designed to be an alternative, a comparable alternative to fixed route. And the requirements are set forth in the ADA itself and in the federal regulations. Those are the minimum requirements. And it is important, I think, that we all consider that people with disabilities are not restricted to Metro Access, and that many people with disabilities ride fixed route. But nonetheless, we, because of the way ADA paratransit was established, we are dependent on what the fixed route service is, how far it reaches, what time it runs, mm-hmm. all of that is dependent. Metro Access Service is dependent on the reach and the time of service of ADA of regular fixed route transit by law, by federal law. So I think that WMATA has tried to go beyond that, and this is why it is very important that we work to get full funding for the fixed route system, because if the fixed route system isn't there, then there is no ADA paratransit, at least by law. And remember, we yes. have funding coming out of local jurisdictions in the whole entire WMATA service area that is local paratransit. We should be putting pressure there as well. So I think it's important for us to work together, customers, patrons, and all of us in the disability community in this region, and not be fighting and arguing against each other.
Thank you. Well said, Doris. Michelle Lindsay, I see, has her hand up. A member of the public anew.
Yes. Michelle Lindsay, when you start speaking, I will start the timer.
Okay. Yes. Good evening, everybody. I'm one of the customer that will be greatly impacted on this new changes coming in July. I'm visually impaired and I do work. I'm a nurse assistant. And based on what I'm hearing, I might be able to be picked up to go to work, but coming home, I might be left out stranded because I live in a community where it's peak hour, bus runs on my route. Mm-hmm. It starts at 5 in the mornings and stops at 10 and then picks up back at 3 till 7:30. So based on me coming off maybe by 2 o'clock or stuff, what I'm hearing is that I won't be able to be picked up and to be dropped home. So I'll be greatly impacted. So does the governor of Maryland have anything to do with this funding stuff or so? We can write to them or something to negotiate for us on behalf of us on the disability committee, something that somebody.
We need to see you need to contact your government officials. You need to come to these public hearings. You need to contact anyone elected in Maryland. I mean, they are putting up their share to see if they can put up more money. Mr. Blake, you have anything to add to that?
No, sir. No, I think you laid it out. Public hearings is where your voice is going to be strongly heard. And you gave a good example, and that's similar to the example Ms. Coles was detailing. So you're already familiar with a peak time bus service. And as I pointed out, you know, for the last 4 years, we put together the plan that inoculates you. You're in the service area, so under this version of Metro Access, and again, I'm very proud of it, you get service because you're in the service area regardless of the time. Come July, as you point out, that is, or as I stated, that could change, and you're already very familiar with that process. So your voice at the public hearing and your personal testimony of a real life example, I think will be helpful to crystallize for people listening.
Okay. Well, I do hope when those hearings are being held, I'll be able to get the ride from Metro Access to go there and to take me back home. That's another thing. So
as Mr. Torres pointed out, just book your trip 24 hours in advance and we'll get you here and back.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Vanessa Coles.
Yes, thank you. I'm Vanessa. So my concern is kind of in the same vein as Mr. Torres. So, Mr. Blake, you mentioned that the cab companies will be picking up local trips. Is it possible that there will be a consideration for same-day trips?
Well, as I point out, if you're talking about the new non-dedicated service that we will be adding to the Metro Access array of services, this is a step towards that. Is it going to happen in July? No. Is it going to happen, you know, really, really soon? Maybe, maybe not. Most likely, no. But the possibility in taking those baby steps is part of what we're doing here. And so I would just say be patient. And the best is yet to come.
Mr. Blake, I see a comment in the chat. Will door-to-door continue through all of this? That's an important question to ask, especially absolutely. You want to differentiate with our Metro Access providers and those with abilities riding, any third-party providers.
Right, so, let me be real clear. Abilities ride, as you all know, is private service, curb-to-curb. Sometimes the drivers get out, sometimes they don't, but that's going to remain curb to curb. Metro Access in a Metro Access vehicle will remain door to door service, and the non-dedicated service will be door to door service. So that's not going to change.
Hello? All right. I see Sharon's iPhone. Did you have a comment? You'll be the last one.
Yes. Oh, thank the Lord. I was sort of fumbling around here. This is my first time with the Zoom thing.
That's fine. You'll probably be our last public comment. Go ahead, 3 minutes.
Okay. What I wanted to say, ask the guests there is, have they considered, I think, a Lyft ride as well as Uber or no?
Well, I know from contract negotiations, and then Mr. Blake will jump in, because I was sitting there, there was an interest definitely by Uber, and I remember Lyft being there, putting in some interest in a possible bid, but I'm going to let Mr. Blake respond to that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I will say this. We recently closed the solicitation on the abilities ride, as those contractors had to renew their contracts. I'm not at liberty just yet to say if any new companies will be added, but it's a possibility, but it's up to the companies to want to participate in, on the terms that we're offering. So give us a couple of months. We'll announce the new abilities ride lineup. It may change. It may not. And if Lyft is part of it, great. If they're not, we're going to continue to move forward as well. So we'll let you know once this process is complete.
Okay. That's
cool. Who are those abilities ride providers?
Great. Because I've had very good success with them. The riders were courteous. I was shocked that they really hadn't been, know how to engage your blind people. But I had good success with them so far.
I understand. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anu, your spiel before we end.
Well, just wanted to share that if any members of the public would like to send their email, public comments, they can email us at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
And with that, it's 5:59. Can I get a motion to adjourn? Because we have to end at 6.
So moved.
Second.
We are adjourned. All right. I think I already see everyone. All right. This meeting has now ended. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a great year.
Happy holiday.
Everybody, have a good holiday.